Well, good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder, and this is BRN AM for Friday, November 20th, 2020. And our top stories today, zombie companies dragging down the economy. And then we'll take a look at the top voices for 2020 in economics and finance. Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Devin Banerjee. He's Senior Financial Services Editor for LinkedIn, and he's also the editor of the This Week in Finance newsletter, which, of course, you can find on the LinkedIn platform. Devin, pleasure to see you. Always good talking with you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely, Jeff. Always good to chat.
So let's jump in. What's top of mind this week when you scour the virtual pages of LinkedIn?
Absolutely, Jeff. I know we're a couple of weeks out from Halloween, but we're going to talk about zombies today. And this is a topic that, candidly, the finance community has been talking about for several years now, actually kind of since the last financial crisis when interest rates were dropped near zero. But the quantity and quality as well of zombie corporations has changed quite a bit in just the past 8 months during this pandemic and economic downturn. So I want to give you the lay of the land now. And credit to Bloomberg for doing a great analysis, looking through the Russell 3000 for this analysis. So what are zombie companies? The consensus definition is companies that are not earning enough to cover their debt expenses, their interest expenses. So depending on what measure of cash flow you use, it's effectively a pre-interest, like an EBITDA measure of cash flow, and it's not enough to cover their ongoing interest expenses. A lot of these companies, Jeff, are once corporate titans, once household names, once case studies in success in corporate America. Today, we're talking about companies like Boeing, Carnival, the cruise operator, Delta Airlines, ExxonMobil, Macy's even. And I mentioned the change in the quantity this year. About 200 corporations here in the United States have entered this zombie status since March. Zombies now account for about 20% of public companies in that Russell 3000, according to Bloomberg. And total debt on their balance sheets has risen $1 trillion since March to $1.36 trillion. I just want to repeat that again. It was about $350 billion in debt across these balance sheets just in March. It's now $1 trillion more than that. That's compared to about $500 billion owed by zombie companies during the previous financial crisis. Now, of course, since that previous financial crisis, interest rates, as I said, have dropped to record lows, that 0 to 0.25% band. Also during this pandemic, there's been this effective Fed backstop. You and I talked about this back in mid-March, which is, you know, the Fed stepping in to almost effectively buy corporate bonds directly. That provided a huge boost of confidence to the credit markets and allowed these companies of perhaps lower quality or taking a temporary hit during the pandemic, allowing them to access credit. So yes, of course, the Fed was trying to stave off a wave of bankruptcies. It may have prevented a deeper recession or even a depression. But what economists argue is the problem with zombie companies is it may be directing the flow of capital to what they term unproductive firms, right? Unproductive operations, companies that cannot afford to invest in operations or invest in growth of their businesses, in growth of employment. And that, what economists say, can really depress growth and employment for years to come. It's a quantity and a big group of assets effectively that are tied up in companies that can roll over their debts but not invest going forward. So that's the real key issue, and that's what people are going to be watching for as we emerge out of this economic recession.
I mean, that's not a good sign. You mentioned, Devin, some stalwarts. I mean, these would be companies that are found in many portfolios, in many mutual funds that are held within 401k, 403b, and other retirement programs. What does this mean in terms of jobs? If they're devoting capital to maintaining non-business functions or functions like managing debt, et cetera, what does this mean to hiring, to innovation, all the things that, you know, businesses require?
Absolutely. That is the key concern of economists, as I alluded to. It's that investment for the future, that investment in innovation, that investment in employment growth. So absolutely, the focus on employment among these zombie companies and employment growth is of high concern. And again, as you mentioned, these are stalwart companies. During these past 8 months, I mentioned Delta before, but all four major U.S. airlines have entered this zombie status. Movie theater operators, of course, not surprising, entertainment companies. It is important to note, though, as I said, about 20% of the Russell 3000 now in this group. These are not companies that will disappear, that will go bankrupt. There are comeback stories from this group of zombies all the time. In the past, there have been severe zombies like Sprint or Boston Scientific that have certainly reemerged from that status. And really, let's be honest, during these past 8 months, some of this wipeout in earnings has been, hopefully, I think we would all hope, has been temporary, right? So talking about Boeing, for example, on their recent earnings call, they said, you know, of course they're managing their liquidity and managing their debt and their leverage are top priorities. But, you know, reducing debt will be their number one priority once cash flow returns to a more normal pre-pandemic and pre-crisis. Boeing is going through a couple other crises at the same time. But once it returns around those levels. And so there are kind of arguments on both sides. There are people who downplay the zombie issue and say companies emerge from this all the time. But what's really important is that kind of opportunity cost, if you will, the investment that's gone into these companies, the assets that are tied up in them, both physical assets and intangible, the human capital that is tied up in them. I mean, maybe some economists argue maybe those assets could be put to more productive or higher and best use elsewhere if that company just effectively, however you call it, fold or go out of business or what have you. Zombie companies are also three times more likely to re-enter zombie status after they exit zombie status, three times more likely to do that than a company going into zombie status in the first place. So this does persist. This is a problem that continues and weighs down growth. And what economists are saying about this recovery in particular, as I said, out of this economic recovery, our economy will basically be a bit less dynamic, less agile, less flexible. This will also be kind of a deflationary pressure. So we can expect inflation to be subdued as a result. And that means lower interest rates for longer, which will just keep these zombie companies going.
Well, Devin, at least you can recover from being a zombie company, because in The Walking Dead or George Romero's films, you can never recover from becoming a zombie. Well, great story, Devin. Let's hope things get turned around as we grow economically. That's a key factor here. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Devin about the top voices in 2020 on LinkedIn in finance and economics. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here, and if you're on Medicare, this is important. You're now entitled to eliminate copays and get dental care, dentures, eyeglasses, prescription coverage, in-home aids, unlimited transportation, and home-delivered meals, all at no additional cost. Plus, your zip code may have coverage with the Give Back benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. Look, with the uncertainty of the virus and vaccines, you need to get everything you're entitled to. Here's the bottom line. Call to get significant benefits at no additional cost and see if your zip code has coverage with the Give Back benefit. Millions of people have trusted the Medicare Coverage Helpline. You can too. Call now. It's free.
Call 1-800-924-3920. That's 1-800-924-3920.
Welcome back. We're talking to Devin Banerjee of LinkedIn. Devin, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Absolutely, Jeff. Happy to.
So we're going to shift from zombies, arguably a zombie company is arguably a tough story. And let's talk about who are some of the key influencers or people that are really notable on the platform, the LinkedIn platform, in economics and finance. You and the team have done tremendous work, I think, for the sixth year in a row. So what can you tell us here?
That's right, Jeff. It's our sixth annual Top Voices list. We look across the globe at different geographies as well as different industries to bring you some of the top voices starting conversation, promoting conversation, and I should say promoting substantive conversation about industry trends and topics in the news on the LinkedIn platform. So I want to give you an overview of our list this year in finance and economics. It's a great exercise, if you will, for people to go through and follow these folks on the list and just have a much higher quality experience and quality conversation on LinkedIn in terms of receiving news, receiving industry updates, and substantive conversation. So I'm going to mention the 10 on the finance and economics list. There also is a separate list of what we call LinkedIn influencers. Those include some folks you should be aware of, like Christine Lagarde of the European Central Bank, Mohamed Alarian, The Economist, Kristalina Georgieva of the International Monetary Fund, Ray Dalio, David Solomon of Goldman Sachs, et cetera. But the 10 on our finance and economics list, the first is Cam Harvey. He's a professor of finance at Duke University, and he is just a great, great person to follow right now. We put him on our list because he is, you know, in this year of uncertainty of 2020, people have really found a source of certainty in him. He shares virtual presentations, fresh research from him and his and other academics he works with. He does live Q&As, which are really, really beneficial to people on LinkedIn. So I would certainly give him a follow. Number two, Denise Chisholm from Fidelity Investments. What we really liked about her is her charts of the week. As you know, Jeff, and any finance professional knows, you know, visualizing a trend or a complicated or nuanced topic in a chart or a graph is super powerful for conveying context, critical context. And Denise and her team are doing that every week. Bill Winters is the CEO of Standard Chartered, the bank. And what we really found in him is a new breed of bank CEOs. I mean, he's someone who really recognizes, as you and I have talked about, Jeff, that the customers and clients of the future really care about a couple of things, digital banking and technology, the environment, and societal change. And we've seen all of those on display this year from him and his team at Standard Chartered. Mark Franklin is the CEO of the CFA Institute. She really brings all of the resources of the CFA Institute to LinkedIn. So that's cutting edge research, educational resources. And she's really talking about the future of investment management. So focusing on ESG, diversity and inclusion, fintech, and also the soft skills that are really necessary but often overlooked in financial services. And just rounding out the top five, and then I'll take a pause. Raghuram Rajan, he's a professor at the Booth School of Business, the University of Chicago. He's more well known for being the former governor or the head of the Reserve Bank of India, India's central bank, and the former chief economist at the IMF. And he almost has a million followers on the platform. People just flock to his LinkedIn content and hang on his every word. I won't go through the remaining five, but we do have a young woman from Africa who's really seeking to turn things around there in terms of education and financial literacy. We have a fintech venture capitalist. We have one of the few women in India at the helm of a financial institution. We also have our youngest ever honoree on this list. I would encourage you to take a look at why she's on this list. And then David Kelly, the chief global market strategist at JP Morgan Asset Management, who was very prescient about this coronavirus pandemic, noting its risks back in January before most of us in the US were even thinking about it or caring about it, 5 or 6 weeks before the country started shutting down. So just a great exercise there to find some folks, some sources of insight on the LinkedIn platform. Of course, there are far more than just 10. There are people like Jeff, people like me and my colleagues, financial journalists, other economists and investment professionals. But these 10 are a great place to start.
Yeah, I laughed because you included me in that list. I don't consider myself remotely close. But Devin, in all seriousness, I mean, you make really good points. I mean, this is a platform of 700 million people. And there are arguably 700 million conversations or more going on at the same time. It's got to be a challenge for the team to cull through. And I mean, there's so many people who are putting out thoughtful insight, and that this list doesn't exclude those people from contributing and being a part of the conversation. And they may be part of conversations from some of these influencers.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. There's so much conversation and content on the platform. We're trying to help folks like you and those tuning in to cut through the noise. And that's why we give you 10 people to start with in different industries and geographies with this list. And we're basing it very quantitatively on our data. We're looking at where readers are going. We're looking at engagement on these people's content. And we're looking qualitatively as well as at people who are not self, promoting themselves. Yeah. Candidly, we all know we see that on the LinkedIn platform. We're looking at people who are starting conversations around industry trends and topics in the news.
Devin, just for people who are listening, maybe thinking about contributing to the conversation, is there a particular medium that really does better than others? I mean, you see the written word, you see podcasts, you see video. Is there anything that sticks in your mind or the team's mind that people can really do to engage?
It's a great question, Jeff. My advice to people is to always go with what you're comfortable with. If it's short updates and digestible, just 2 or 3 sentence takeaways, use that post format on LinkedIn. If you enjoy video, and I will say our data shows that video is more engaging than a text update from a page. It's actually about 2.9 times on average more engaging. Wow. So if you're comfortable with a 60 or 90 second or 30 seconds, but 30 to 90 second video talking about a trend in your industry or your take on a topic in the news, that is certainly an engaging medium. There's also the long form article format on LinkedIn, but my advice is always not to put too much energy or effort into that if you're not comfortable with long form writing. But that's great for those of you whose firms put out research or thought leadership already that you can just cross publish into that format.
Yeah, you don't really need to write a dissertation, although you're free to if you are so inclined. Devin, also there's a live portion of the platform too. I know you've been on it. I think you mentioned one of the I think number one on the list, the professor, forgive me, I don't remember the name, but he or she does live tutorials. I mean, that is a very powerful aspect too, because it actually creates a sense of community within the community on a particular topic.
That's right. And we've just seen that soar in popularity during this shift to working from home, the shift to virtual. Everything has gone virtual, events, presentations, et cetera. So yes, there is a live video capability available on LinkedIn called LinkedIn Live. And we've seen the uptake on that really, really healthy. Again, from people who during these past 8 months would typically be doing presentations at conferences or with clients or with prospects. And they're now doing that live on LinkedIn.
Yeah, well, great list. And people who are watching this and listening to this, I mean, you're all part of this conversation. It's not just about one person. It's about all of us contributing to a dialogue. Devin, we're going to leave it there. Always a pleasure chatting with you. Really interesting stories. We got to cure those zombie companies, I think. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Sounds good, Jeff. Take care.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest or someone you think we should talk to? Then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the news in retirement, markets, technology, personal finance, so much more, check out our daily newsletter The Morning Pulse. Don't forget, we're back again tomorrow for our weekly retrospective show, BRM Weekly. We've got another very special guest. You're not going to want to miss that. So until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the genius.
Are you being audited and do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Is the IRS threatening to take more of your money? Don't fight the IRS alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you negotiate your tax bill and reduce your stress. The IRS can freeze your assets and seize your bank accounts, but you can stop these IRS actions. The Tax Doctor will work with you using our years of experience to represent your case to help you get the best resolution under the IRS guidelines. Help is here to deal with the IRS to reduce your stress. We've handled thousands of cases, so we know what we're doing. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, do not call the IRS alone. Call a Tax Doctor now for a tax emergency analysis.
Call 800-224-6439.